Today's shiur is Perek Tishi, Mehilchos Machalos Asuros, the ninth chapter of the laws concerning forbidden foods. Aleph, paragraph 1. Basar b'chalav, asal levashlo, v'asal le'achlo min ha-Torah, v'asar b'hanah, v'kovrin oso, v'afro asar ke'efer kol hanikbarim. Milk and meat is forbidden to cook, one is biblically forbidden to eat the mixture, and it is also forbidden to derive any benefit from that mixture. And it also has to be buried, and the ashes of mixtures of milk and meat, if it has been burnt, is forbidden to derive any benefit from, just as the law is concerning the ashes of all substances that are required to be buried, that one may not benefit from those ashes. Umi sheyavashal mishneim kizayis ke'echad loke, shenemar lo sevashal gdi b'chalev imo. Whoever cooks of the two substances, the size, the volume of one olive, would get lashes, would be subject to flogging, because it says in the Torah, in the book of Exodus, you shall not cook a kid in the milk of its mother. V'chein ha'ochel kizayis mishneim mehabasav ha'cholav shenizbashel ki'echad loke, v'afal pishlo bishel. And likewise, one who eats an olive's worth of the two together, of the meat and the milk, that were already cooked together, would also be subject to lashes, even though he had not cooked them. Someone else had cooked them, but nevertheless, for eating it alone, you would also be subject to the flogging. Halacha Beis, paragraph 2. Lo shasa kakasuv mileser hachila el mipnei she'asar habishul. Klomar ve'afilu bishuli asar ve'ein sarach lomar achilaso. Kimo she'shasak mileser habas mi'acha she'asar bas habas. The Rambam explains that the only reason the Torah is silent with regard to the prohibition of eating meat and milk together, the Torah does not say you should not eat milk and meat, is because it has already forbidden the cooking. And since the cooking is forbidden, it is unnecessary to mention that eating of it is also forbidden. This is the exact same case, we find a parallel to this, in where the Torah talks about the prohibition of marrying one's daughter. The Torah says nothing about it. The Torah is silent in that regard, because the Torah has already stated that it is forbidden to marry one's daughter's daughter. Why should it have to mention that it is forbidden to marry one's daughter? Likewise here, if it's forbidden to cook, it's certainly forbidden to eat. Halacha Gimel, paragraph 3. Ein asa min ha-Torah ela besar behema tahora b'chalev behema tahora. Shenemar le'savashel gdi b'chalev imo. It is only biblically forbidden to cook and to eat of the mixture of the meat of a kosher animal with the milk of a kosher animal. As the Torah says, don't cook a kid in the milk of its mother. And those are two, and a kid is obviously a kosher animal. Ugdi hu kolil vlad hashar, vlad hasev, vlad ha'ez, at sheyifrad v'yomer gdi izin. The Rambam explains that the word gdi, which sometimes means goat, does not really mean goat here, but it's an inclusive term that means the young of an ox, the young of a lamb, the young of a goat, until the Torah specifically says, Gdi Izim, a kid of goats. But otherwise, Gdi means simply a young animal. V'lo nemar Gdi b'chalev imo, elishadibra hakasav behova. The Torah doesn't really limit this to a kid in the milk of its mother only, but the Torah is merely picking on a common example where people used to cook the kid in the milk of its mother. Avobsar behema tahora shabishlu b'chalev behema tmeya. Obsar behema tmeya shabishlu b'chalev behema tahora mutalu vashil umuteres b'hanoya ve'en chayavin al achilasa mishambasa b'chalev. However, the meat of a kosher animal that was cooked in the milk of a non-kosher animal, or vice versa, the meat of a non-kosher animal that was cooked in the milk of a kosher animal, one is permitted to do the cooking itself, and it is also permitted to derive benefit from it, because a non-kosher animal or milk is forbidden to eat, but you can have benefit from it, and one would not be liable for its consumption for the prohibition of milk and meat, because one of the two is not from a kosher source. Halacha Dalet, paragraph 4. V'chein basar chaya v'ov, bein b'chalev chaya, bein b'chalev behema, eina asa b'achila min ha-Torah. Likewise, the flesh, the meat of a beast and fowl, whether it is in the milk of a beast or the milk of an animal, it is not forbidden to eat, at least not biblically so. Lefichach muta levashlo umuta b'hanoya. Therefore, since it's not biblically forbidden, although it is rabbinically forbidden to eat, the rabbis did not extend the prohibition of cooking and deriving benefit from it. So you would be allowed to cook it and derive benefit from it. V'asa b'achilim adivrei sofrim. K'dei sh'lo yifshu ha'am v'yavoa l'dei iser basa b'chalov shal Torah v'yochla b'sar b'heima tahora b'chalev b'heima tahora. Rabbinically, however, it is forbidden to eat. And the reason why the rabbis prohibited eating of this mixture, of a beast, the reason is so that people should not be guilty of extending the permission to cover the biblical prohibition of meat of animals with milk as well. And as a consequence, they would eat the meat of a clean animal cooked in the milk of a clean animal. Sheharei ein mishma hakosav el gdi b'chalev imo mamish, because they might argue that the literal meaning of the verse forbids only a kid and its own mother's milk. So it's very likely that people might pervert the true meaning of this biblical commandment. Lefichach aser kol basa b'chalev. That's why the rabbis imposed a prohibition on all forms of meat and milk, even those that are biblically permissible. And that is, even if it is from the meat of a beast or a fowl. Halacha hey, paragraph 5. Dagim v'chagavim mutar la'achlam b'chalev. It is permissible to eat fish and locust with milk. V'hashochet of v'nimtza bo beitzim gemuros mutar la'achlam b'chalev. One who slaughters a bird and finds in the bird completely developed eggs, one is permitted to eat them with milk. Halacha vav, paragraph 6. Hamu'ushan v'hamavushal b'chamei tveria v'kiyotza behen ein lokin olav. If the meat and milk was smoked, or it was cooked in the hot springs of Tiberias, or anything similar to that, one is not subject to flogging for it, because this is not considered to be the standard form of cooking, and therefore the prohibition of not cooking a kid in the milk of its mother would not apply, and consequently the prohibition of eating that which was cooked together would also not apply. V'chein ha'mevashel basar b'mei chalav o b'chalev mesa o b'chalev zachar o shabishol dam b'chalav pater v'ein aloka al al-chilasim mishum basar b'chalav. Likewise, if one cooks meat in whey or in the milk of a dead animal or in the milk of a male, or if he boils blood with milk, he is exempt and is not liable to be flogged on account of meat with milk. Aval ha'mevashel basar mesa o chalev v'kiyotze b'hen b'chalav loka al bishulo. If, however, one cooks the meat of a dead animal or forbidden fat with milk, he would be liable to be flogged for the prohibition of cooking meat and milk. However, the Rambam says, "Ve'ein alok alachilasa mishum basa b'chalav." However, he would not be subject to flogging for eating milk and meat. She'ein isa basa b'chalav chalal isa nevela o isa chelev. She'ein kan lo isa kolel v'lo isa mosif. However, there would be no lashes for eating it, because the prohibition of the mixture of milk and meat does not take effect when there already exists the prohibition of nevela, or the prohibition of forbidden fat. Because the only time one prohibition can take effect when another one already exists is when it is an iser kolel, or iser mosif, or iser bas echas, which we will soon explain. And in this case, the Rambam says, there is neither a iser kolel, which means a comprehensive prohibition, nor is there an iser mosif, that means it does not introduce additional factors, nor is it a case of a prohibition which takes effect simultaneously, two prohibitions taking effect simultaneously. The three exceptions to the rule that one prohibition does not take effect when another one exists, the three exceptions are iser kolel, when the second one is all-encompassing, so it encompasses more items than the first one. The second exception is iser mosif. That is when the prohibition is greater. There are other aspects of this prohibition. Or if the two prohibitions come at the same time, then they both take effect. But in this case, there's no additional factor with basa b'chalav. The commentaries point out that the Rambam seems to be contradicting himself, because the Rambam elsewhere explains that basa b'chalav, milk and meat, does have an additional factor, because it is forbidden to derive benefit from. So why shouldn't the prohibition of milk and meat take effect on the prohibition of nevela, which is only a prohibition extending to eating, not to benefiting? One of the answers given is that the Rambam already told us that there are no lashes given for benefiting from milk and meat. And therefore, how could we say that there should be lashes for eating, in this case, if the only reason there's an additional prohibition is because of the benefit, and the benefit itself doesn't carry the punishment of flogging, how could the eating carry that penalty? And that's really what the Rambam is saying over here, that one would not get additional lashes for milk and meat. Halacha Zayin, paragraph 7. Hamavashal shlil b'chalav chayiv. If one cooks a fetus in milk, he's also liable. V'chein ha'ochlo, likewise the one who eats it. Al v'hamavashal shilya o'or v'gidin v'atzamos v'ikre karnayim utalafayim harakim b'chalav potr. V'chein ha'ochel and potter. However, if one should cook the caul, that's like the placenta in which the fetus is contained, the hide, or the sinews, or the bones, or the soft base of the horns, or hooves, one cooks those in milk, he would be not liable, and likewise, one who eats of them would not be liable. Halacha Ches, paragraph 8. Basa shenafel atocha cholav, a cholav shenafel atocha basa b'nizbashel imo shi'ura b'nosin tam. If meat falls into milk, or milk is spilled upon meat, it is prohibited if the quantity is sufficient to impart a flavor. Ketzad, how does one determine this? Chticha shel basa shenafel l'kdeira rosacha shel cholav, to'im hagayas hagdeira ima mashiyesh batam basa asura, v'im lav muteres, v'osa chticha asura. If a piece of meat falls into a boiling pot of milk, a non-Jew would taste the food, the mixture. If he says that it has a taste of meat, it would be forbidden. And if not, it is permissible. However, that piece of meat is forbidden nevertheless, no matter what the non-Jew says. However, when does the foregoing apply? That's only if the meat is removed before it exudes the milk which it has absorbed. Otherwise, one must estimate whether there is one part of meat to at least 60 parts of milk. Since the milk which has been absorbed in the meat, and which had thereby become prohibited, has emerged and become mixed with the remainder of the milk. See, if the piece of meat remains inside, then even though there's no taste of meat in the milk, but the milk that's in the meat is forbidden because it was within that piece of meat, and now that exuded into the mixture. So the whole mixture might taste like milk, but it's forbidden milk, and you would need 60 times as much as the amount of milk that was absorbed within the piece of meat. Halacha test, paragraph 9. Nafal chalav l'toch k'teir shel basar, toa min asachticha shenafal al l'chalav. If milk is spilled into a dish of meat, the piece of meat upon which the milk has fallen should be tasted. Im ein batam chalav hakol mutter. If it doesn't have a taste of milk, then everything is permissible. V'im yesh b'chticha tam chalav. But if the piece of meat does have a taste of milk, afal pi she'im tisachit hachticha lo yishar batam. Even if, upon being squeezed, the piece of meat would lose the flavor of milk, that doesn't help, the Rambam says. Hol v'yesh ba'ata tam chalav neser osa hachticha. Since it now has a taste of milk, that piece is forbidden. Umisharin bekula. Now one has to estimate the size of that whole piece, because that whole piece is now forbidden, and we have to now estimate him. Haya bakol sheyesh bagdera min hachtichas v'hayarak v'hamarak v'hatavlin kidei shetiyach hachticha zu ech mishishi min hakol hachticha asura v'hasham muter. If everything that's in this pot, that includes the pieces of meat, it includes the vegetables, it includes the gravy, the spices, and all combined are of such volume that this piece of meat constitutes no more than 1/60th of the total, then only this piece would remain forbidden, while the remainder is permitted. Halacha Yud, paragraph 10. The Rambam continues by saying, Bamed varam amurim, when does the foregoing apply? B'shelo nir esakdera batchila, kishenafal hacholav, elo libesof, velo kisa. Aval im nir metchila v'yatsof, osher kisa mishas nefila atsof, this stringency that we said before, that we have to estimate 60 times against the whole piece of meat, not against the drops of milk, applies only if one had not stirred the contents of the pot at the beginning, at the time when the milk fell in, but only stirred it at the end, or had not covered it. But if he had stirred it from beginning to end, or had covered it from the moment the milk fell in and kept it covered until the cooking was completed, then the decision depends on whether the milk has flavored the dish, not whether there's 60 times as much meat as there is in that piece of meat upon which the milk has fallen. We go by the whole dish, whether there's a taste of milk or not. Similarly, if the milk fell into the gravy or in the midst of the pieces of meat and we don't know which piece it fell, one should stir the whole contents of the pot until everything in it is again mixed. If the dish as a whole has a milky taste, then it would be forbidden. If not, it is permitted. If there is no non-Jew that we could give the food, the mixture to taste and to rely upon him. Obviously, a Jew could not taste it, lest it might be forbidden. So then we have to calculate whether there is a volume of 60 of the permissible substance against the forbidden. Whether it's meat into the milk, whether it's the milk into the meat. 1 out of 60 is permissible. If it's less than 60, if the proportion is less, then it is forbidden. Halacha Yud Aleph, paragraph 11. Kededer shebishel b'basar lo yevashel b'cholov. V'im bishel b'nosin tam. Milk may not be boiled in a pot in which meat had been previously cooked. And if one does so nevertheless, then it depends on whether the pot imparts a meaty flavor to the milk or not. If it does, then it's forbidden. Otherwise, it's permissible. Halacha Yud Beis, paragraph 12. Hakchal osam edivrei sofrim. She'ein basar shenizbashel b'chalev shchuta osam in hatorah k'mo shebi'arnu. The udder of the animal is forbidden only rabbinically, although, according to the Torah, meat which is boiled in the milk obtained from an animal after shechita had been performed is not forbidden. So the milk that's left over in the udder would not be forbidden, and therefore it is only rabbinically forbidden. Lefichach im kara'o, umeir nekachalav shabo, mutal litzloso la'achlo. Therefore, if one tears open the udder and washes the milk out of it, the udder may be roasted and eaten. And if the person cuts it crosswise and rubs it against the wall until no milky moisture remains upon it, it is permitted to cook it with other meat. It is, however, forbidden to cook an unopened udder, whether of a calf which has never given milk or of a fully grown cow. If one disregards this prohibition and cooks the udder by itself, he is permitted to eat of the udder itself. If he cooks it with other meat, however, it is subject to the principle of 1 part in 60. But in this case, the udder we could include in the count. That means that we really need 59 times against the udder. We can count the udder itself, and it would be nullified in the proportion of 1 to 60. Halacha Yud Gimel, paragraph 13. Ketzad, how so? Im haya hakol im akchal kamo shishim bakchal, hakchal asr, v'hashar mutar. Im haya bepachas mishishim hakol asr. If the bulk of the whole, including the udder, is 60 times that of the udder itself, the udder is forbidden, and the remainder of the meat is permitted. If it is less than 60, it is all forbidden. Either way, in either case, whether it was 60 or not 60, if the udder then falls into another dish, it renders that dish forbidden and must be once again subjected to the principle of 1 in 60, as in the first instance. The reason is that the udder in itself, having been cooked, is considered as one forbidden piece of meat. Ve'ein misharim bo ela kamo shehu be'eshin esbashel, lo kamo shehaya b'shoa shenafal. One must calculate the volume of the udder the way it was when it was cooked, not the way it was when it fell into the dish. Halacha Yudal, paragraph 14. Ein tzolin esakchal shechotcho l'mayla min habasa b'shpud v'im tzoloho hakol muter. It is forbidden to roast an udder which has been cut open on a spit above other meat. If one does so nevertheless, both are permitted. The reason why one shouldn't do it because of the dripping milk. But if it was already roasted, it is permissible. Since it is only rabbinically forbidden, this milk is only rabbinically forbidden. Halacha Tezvav, paragraph 15. Keva shebishla b'chalav sheba muteris. She'ein achalav ela harihuk tinofis shehare yishtane b'me'ayim. A stomach cooked with the milk which is within it is permissible. Since this milk is regarded not as milk, but as waste, because it has undergone a change in the bowels. Halacha Tezayin, paragraph 16. Asur lahamid hagvina ba'or hakeva shel shchuta, v'im hamid toim es hagvina, im yesh batam basar asura, v'im lav muteres, v'pnei shehamaymid davar hamuter hu, shekeva shchuta hi, v'ein kan ela isa basa b'cholav shesheure benosin tam. It is forbidden to curdle cheese with a membrane of the stomach of an animal upon which shechita has been performed. If one does so curdle the cheese should be tasted. If it tastes of meat, it is forbidden. If it doesn't have the taste of meat, it is permitted. And the reason is because the curdling agent itself is permitted. The stomach of an animal upon which shechita has been performed is a kosher animal. The only prohibition that would be applicable here is that it is a question of meat and milk. And meat and milk depends on whether the membrane affects the flavor. If it doesn't, then it is kosher. Aval hamamid ba'ar kebas nevel utreifo behema tmeya hoil v'hamamid dover ha'asa b'fnei atzmo neser ha'gvina mishem nevela lo mishem basa b'chalav. And if the person curdles the cheese with a membrane, with a skin of the stomach of a nevela, of a dead animal that hasn't been slaughtered, or a treif, an animal that has a fatal disease, even if it was slaughtered properly, and a non-kosher species of animal, since the curdling agent is in itself forbidden, inherently forbidden, the cheese is forbidden because it is considered nevela, not because it is milk and meat. And even if it doesn't have the taste, it doesn't change the fact that something that is used to curdle something else renders the whole thing prohibited, if the curdling agent itself is forbidden. It is this fear that the cheese might have been curdled with the nevela, with the membrane of the stomach of a nevela, or treifa, that is the reason why the sages prohibited non-Jewish made cheese, as we explained in an earlier chapter. Halacha Yud Zayin, paragraph 17. Habasar levada mutar, v'hachalav levada mutar. Meat by itself is permissible, and milk by itself is permissible. Only when the two are mixed, by way of cooking them, do they both become forbidden. However, when does the foregoing apply, that milk and meat cooked together is forbidden? When they were both cooked together, or if something that is hot fell into something that is hot, or something cold falls into something that is hot. If the bottom substance, whether it's milk or meat, is hot, it will absorb the substance that is above it. Aval nafal echad mishneihem v'hu cham l'toch hasheni v'hu tzonein kolev habasar kulo shenaga bo hachala v'ochel hashak. However, if one of the two falls into the other, and that is, something hot falls into the second thing, which is cold, the bottom substance being cold, what one has to do is to merely peel the meat entirely. That is the part of the meat that had come in contact with the milk, and one may eat the rest. The reason here is because the bottom is cold, and the bottom prevails. However, in the course of its cooling off, the top, which is hot, the meat does absorb a little bit, only on the surface, and therefore it has to be peeled. If something cold falls into something else that is cold, milk into meat, all you have to do is rinse the piece of meat, and you can eat it. That is, to remove any milk that is visible on the meat, and then the rest can be eaten. And for this reason, it is permitted to wrap meat with cheese in the same kerchief, as long as they do not touch each other. But if they do touch one another, all you have to do is wash the meat and the cheese, and then you may eat either one of them. Halacha Yudches, paragraph 18. Maliach she'ina nechal machas milcho, harehu kereseach. V'im nechal kamo shehu, kamo hakutach, einu kereseach. Salted food, which is so salty as to be inedible, we regard as equivalent to hot food, and it absorbs. If, however, it is edible the way it is, just like kutach, kutach is a dip, a dairy dip that has salt in it, it is not considered to be the equivalent of hot food, and it would not absorb. Halacha Yutes, paragraph 19. Of shachot shenafo l'chalav olekutach sheyesh bo chalav, a slaughtered bird that fell into milk, or into kutach, this dairy dip that has milk in it, im chayhu medicha umutar. If the bird is still raw, all you have to do is rinse it off, and it is permissible. Ve'im tzali kolfo. And if it is roasted, then one has to peel it. Ve'im hayu bo pelachim pelachim o shahayim mitubal betvalin v'nafal lachalav alakuta chareza aser. If the bird is in segments or is well seasoned, and it then falls into milk or this dairy dip, the bird is forbidden. Halacha Chaf, paragraph 20. Also lahalos ha'of im magvina ala shulchan shehu ochel olav gzeira mishum hergel aveira. Shema yochel ze im ze. Afal pisha ha'of b'chalav asa medivrei sofrim. It is forbidden to place poultry with cheese on the table that you're eating. And the reason for it is there's a danger that it might lead a person to transgression. You might eat the two together. And the Rambam says that this is true even though that the prohibition of eating fowl with milk is only rabbinical. Nevertheless, the rabbis imposed this added precaution not to have them both on the table. Chaf Aleph, paragraph 21. Shnei achsenayim sh'ein amakirim ze'ezeh ochlan al shulchan echad. Ze besar behema v'ze gvina. B'nei sh'ein ze gas libo b'zeh k'dei sh'yochel imo. Two guests who are eating at an inn, who are not acquainted with one another, may eat at the same table, even though one is eating meat of an animal, and the other one is eating cheese. And the reason is that since one of them is not on such terms of familiarity with the other as to share his food with him, there's no danger that one might mix one's food, one's meat, with the other's milk. Halacha Chav Beis, paragraph 22. Ein loshin ha'isa b'chalav. V'im losh kol ha'pas asura. Mepnei hergel aveira, shema yochel b'basar. One may not knead dough with milk, and if one has kneaded the dough with milk, the entire bread is forbidden because there's a danger of transgression, lest you might eat meat together with this bread. V'ein tosh in a satanra ba'alya. V'im tosh kol ha'pas asura. Ad sheyasik es hatanur, shema yochel b'cholav. One should not grease an oven with the fat of the tail of the animal, and if one has greased the oven with this, the entire bread that was baked in this oven is forbidden, unless he heats the oven first. And the reason is because there's a danger that one might eat milk with his bread. Ve'im shina b'tzuras hapas ad sheti enikeres, k'dei shelo yochel b'lo basar b'lo cholav, harei ze mutar. The Rambam qualifies this prohibition, that if the person alters the appearance of the bread to make it recognizable so that he would not eat it either with meat or milk, it is permissible, because the person will know that this is different, that this is dairy, so he won't eat it with meat, and or if it's meat, he won't eat it with milk. Halacha Chav Gimel, paragraph 23. Pasha afa im hatzali, v'dagim shetzalam im habasar, asa la'achlam b'chalav. Any bread that was baked with roasted meat, or fish that was roasted with meat, should not be eaten with milk. It is forbidden to eat it with milk. Ka'ara sh'achla b'basar, or bishl b'dagim, osam ha'dagim mutal la'achlam b'kutach. If one cooks fish in a dish out of which he had eaten meat, he may eat that fish together with this dairy dip. Halacha Chavdal, paragraph 24. Sakin shechatach v'basa tzali, v'chaza v'chatach batzanon, v'kiyotze bo medvarim charifin, asa la'achlam b'kutach. A knife that was used to cut roasted meat, and then he cuts radishes or anything else similar to that which is sharp, pungent, it is forbidden to eat them, in other words, those sharp, pungent items, with kutach, with this dairy dip. The reason being because the radish that has been cut with this knife might have absorbed some of the fat that was on the knife that was not noticeable. Aval im chatach babasar, v'chaza v'chatach bakishas, o avatiach, gorid mokam achtach, v'ochel hashar b'cholav. If, however, the person cut the meat, and then the person cuts cucumbers or melons, all he has to do is to scrape away the surface of the cut, and he may eat the remainder with milk. Halacha Chaf Hei, paragraph 25. Ein menichin kad shal melech betzad kad shal kamach, v'pnei sheshoev mimenu, v'nimtza mevashal habasa b'melech zeh, sheyesh bo tam hachalav. One should not place a jug of salt side by side with a jug of the dairy dip, since the salt would absorb moisture from it, and the result would be that he may later cook meat salted with this salt, which is flavored with milk. Aval menich kad hachometz betzad kad hachamach, she'en hachometz shoev mimenu. One may, however, place a jug of vinegar next to a jug of this dairy dip, since vinegar would not absorb moisture from it. Halacha Chava, paragraph 26. Misha achal gvina ochalav tchila mutalech la'achar basa miyat, v'tzarech sh'yadiach yadav y'kaneach piv bein ha'gvina u'bein ha'basar. One who eats cheese or milk first is permitted to eat meat right afterwards, provided that person rinses his hands and wipes his mouth between the cheese and the meat. Upamem kaneach piv v'pasal v'peir shaloasam v'bolam o'poltam. With what does one wipe one's mouth? With bread or fruit, by chewing them and swallowing them, or even spitting them out. And one may use anything to wipe one's mouth, except for dates, flour, or vegetables, because they don't do an adequate job in wiping the mouth. Halacha Chav Zayin, 27. When does the foregoing apply if it's meat of an animal or of a beast? But if one eats meat of fowl, poultry, after eating cheese or milk, one does not have to wipe the mouth or wash the hands. Halacha Chavches 28. Misha achol basa b'tchila bein b'sar b'hem b'bim b'sar of lo yochal achrav cholo v'atchiyyeh b'neim k'dei shiyah su'udah acheres v'hu k'mo shei shos b'pnei habasa sh'bein ha'shinayim sh'ein asar b'kinuach. If one first eats meat, whether the meat of an animal or bird, he should not consume milk after it until the expiration of a purity of time that is equal to the interval between one meal and the next, which is about 6 hours. This is because of the fragments of meat which might be wedged between the teeth that cannot be removed by cleansing. With this, the Rambam concludes Perek Tshi Mehilchos Macholos Asuros, the ninth chapter of the laws concerning forbidden foods.